Okay, open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One of the things that we need to understand is that we need to confess our privileges in Christ. When we know that we are in Christ and think in line with that, when we believe that and confess that, then there can be no failure for us. There's a lot of things that we can do with our mouth. You're going to be saying something. You just will be saying something that God said about you. And so when we find these different things, we call them new creation realities, and we start confessing them, it changes us. So to discover what we are in Christ, we must look to the Word of God, go to the New Testament, primarily the epistles that are written to the church, and underline with your favorite crayon every scripture that has the expression in Him, in Christ, in whom. Better yet, take several sheets of paper and write those down. You'll find about 133 of those scriptures. The moment you find them, begin to confess that this is who you are and what you have in Christ. If you will do this, I guarantee that before many days, life will be different for you. Neither time nor space can permit us to go to all these scriptures, but let us look at just a few. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Notice that expression, in Christ. That's a revolutionary way to look at things, for believers to believe and confess. We are new creatures in Jesus Christ. See, the only way we're going to actually walk in the things that Jesus did for us and live in the things that Jesus did for us is to confess them and make them ours. See, it's not enough to just hear once in a while that you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. You need to make that personal. See, we find ourselves in the Bible. The same way Jesus found himself in the Bible, we find ourselves in the Bible. So we go in there and we find one of those verses just like this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I read that and I thought, well, what does that even mean? And the more I studied that scripture and the more I learned about that scripture, and I found out that a new creature has no past. Then I looked back on my life and I thought about all those times that I wished I could just start life over on a clean slate. Well, Jesus gave me a clean slate right there. You know, you get that clean slate every day. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. We don't need to be haunted by the things of our past. We don't need to be held in guilt over the things of our past. There's too many people that, I know one of the neatest guys I ever knew could pray like nothing I ever heard. And then the next time he'd just be gone. He'd be wiped out on drugs and alcohol. And then he'd come back and he'd just be rolling, and then he'd be gone again. And one time his wife came up and asked me, said, what's going on with this guy? And I looked up to this guy. And I told her, there's probably just this one thing in his past that he doesn't think that he can be forgiven of. And she looked at me like I slapped her with a wet fish. And she said, yeah, there is this one thing. And he's held himself responsible for it, and he won't let it go, and it just ruins his life. It wrecks his whole life. We got to understand that whatever we've done, Jesus did a better, a bigger work than what we've done wrong. Whatever we've done wrong, whatever Jesus did right was much more. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We have redemption from the curse of the law. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Notice those words, in whom we have redemption. It's always in him. It's always in him. How thankful we can be that we are not trying to get it. We already have it. We're not going to have it sometime. We have it now. Satan's dominion has been broken. He lost his dominion over our life the moment we became a new creature. We received a new Lord. Jesus Christ reigns over us. Satan was our Lord, but now Jesus is our Lord. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, Satan's dominion ended. Right that minute. That very second. Jesus' dominion began the moment we accepted him as Lord and were born again. From what and from whom are we redeemed? See, we have to know what we got brought out of in order to know where we belong. So what have we been redeemed of, and from whom have we been redeemed of? When asked this question, many people say, I'm redeemed from sin, and that's not it. That's part of the answer. But it's not all of it. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. That's huge. That's huge. When you understand that sicknesses, poverty, all these things that belong to the curse come from breaking the law. That's where the curse comes from breaking the law. You've been redeemed from that and set into the covenant of grace. Now, there's too many people walking around that are afraid that if they make a mistake, that God's going to take something from them. That maybe God will cause them to have a sickness. And maybe God will cause them to lose their job. Or God will somehow curse them. That's so far from the truth that it couldn't get any farther. You're not under the law. You are not supposed to be afraid of the curse. See? In God, there's no darkness at all. So if he's going to give you a sickness, if he's going to give you a poverty, if he's going to give you some kind of darkness, where's he going to get it at? He doesn't have it. He has no sickness. He has no poverty. He has no failure. He has no weakness. He's not going to give something like that to you because he doesn't have that to you. The only way that we fall subject to the curse of the law is if we're trying to earn our own righteousness to stand before God. If we're trying to be good enough on our own efforts. And if we're trying on our own efforts to earn his blessings. If we're trying on our own merit to deserve something from God, then we qualify for the curse. Because You can't do anything to qualify. You're qualified because of the shed blood of Jesus. That sounds too simple for some people, but that's the God's honest truth. It's by the precious blood of Jesus that we qualify for the blessings. It's because of what He did, not us. So to find out just what the curse of the law is, we must go back to the first five books of the Bible. There we see that the curse or the punishment for breaking God's law is threefold: poverty, sickness, and the second death. God has redeemed us from the curse of poverty, from the curse of sickness, and from the curse of death. Spiritual death now and physical death when Jesus comes again. We need to have no fear of the second death. In one of the lessons that we've looked at before, we found out that Christ's redemption from the curse of the poverty. We look at that a lot. There's a lot of Christians that are afraid of dying. There's a lot of churchgoers that are really afraid of dying, because they're not really sure what's going to happen. Everybody needs to know this. When you get born again, you are saved. You will be in Jesus' presence when you leave this earth. You're not dying. I got news for you. You're not going to die. You're just going to change addresses. Your body, you're going to wear that thing out eventually. Some faster than others. And when your body finally wears out and it's no longer fit for your spirit to live in, your spirit is going to exit out of here and it's going to go home. You're going to be in the presence of your Father. But you're not going to die. You just change addresses. But people get confused and they think that Christians that somehow are going to face the great white throne judgment. You're not going to the great white throne judgment. That's for people that refused Jesus. And then when they did leave this earth, they have a judgment coming to them that's not going to be fun. And it's not going to be God's fault. The Bible talks about having your names blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And I believe that's where that happened. I believe God will ask these people, said, "What did you do about my son?" He denied him. He has no choice but to blot their names out of the Lamb's Book of Life. We used to run around to a lot of different services, go to different rodeos and prison ministry and go to these services. And we'd tell people, get born again, live forever with Jesus. Well, that's true, but it kind of left the idea that, you know, if I don't get born again, then it's just going to be just kind of null and void. But that's not true. See, you're going to live forever one way or the other. And that's what makes hell so bad, is you're going to be alive. You're going to be alive in hell. You may be spiritually dead, but your spirit is going to be alive. Your soul is going to be attached. And there won't be any chance for repentance. There won't be any chance to go to God. Once you're there, it's too late. And stop, drop, and roll is not going to work. There's no getting out. It's eternity. That's why this is so important, that we let people know about the saving grace of God. Because it really is eternity. We're here for just a short period of time, in reality. But we're going to be somewhere for eternity. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our own being." What a vast storehouse of power we overlook so many times. How many times do we actually just look to him and say, "I cannot do this. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I cast this care over onto you." We have to. Sometimes we may have to do it daily. Sometimes we may have to do it several times a day. But we have to. We have to just lean on him. Do you realize that our next breath depends on him? Absolutely everything about this whole world depends on him. Sometimes we look at ourselves as being able to really do something, but in the whole scheme of things, our lives are really wrapped up in him. And our beings are wrapped up in him. We're not going to really get much done without him. We have deliverance from the power of Satan. There's two scriptures that we need to look at. Although they do not contain the words "in him" or "in whom" or "in Christ," yet they convey something of the same message that we do have in him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Who, which is God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." So this verse says that we have already been delivered from the authority of darkness, from the power of Satan. That's something that we have to accept by faith. We've been delivered from his power. He no longer has authority over you. I know sometimes the challenges of life seem like Satan's getting away with anything that he wants to do, but that's so far from the truth. He's not. He's losing. And I run into people all the time saying, we're coming to the end. This is the end. We're over. We're done. We're toast. Said, no, we're not. And these are believers. No, we're not. It's getting better and better and better and better every day. You just have to understand that Satan's going to throw his spit. But Jesus wins. Verse 4. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Do we ever stop and just think about who really does reside on the inside of us? I mean, sometimes things go crazy and we make mistakes, but do we really just take a little bit of time to just sit back and say, "God is on the inside of me. I can win this. The bigger one's in the inside of me. I can win." The Old Testament version of that is found in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." That's big. The Bible tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's not going anywhere. He's right here. He's always with us. Even in your darkest moment, he's always with us. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" So we can take this as a personal message for ourselves. Because we are under the new covenant, we can say, "Thank God, for He is in us. This is the reason I can think of for not being afraid. If God be for us, who can be against us?" Who can truly be against us if God be for us? We need to think about these things sometimes. Think about who we are in Christ and who He is in us. God says that it's so. Therefore, if we find that it's not so, one of us is lying. See, if we ever just stop and look at things, step back and take a look at it and say, okay, God says I can do this. The whole world may say that I can't, but God says I can do this. So who's right? Somebody's lying. It's got to be somebody. It's got to be the world or it's got to be God. I got to choose one. I'm going to go ahead and say that God's not lying. So we really can do the things that the Bible says we can do. But it's always going to be in Him. And you'll find that sometimes the most impossible things that you do, you'll look back and you'll say, only God could have done that. And He gets the glory. That's why you notice God finding people who everybody else would skip over. And then they go do something that's way over their pay grade. But nobody could look at them and say that they did it. They just had to look to God and say, glory to God. That whole poster back there is full of people that would have been overlooked in today's world. And they were overlooked even in their world. But they did things. But God got a hold of their tongue and changed the way they talked. And then they did great things for God. And He got the glory. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship You in spirit and in truth. We thank You for taking care of us. We thank You for protecting us. And we thank You, Father, for guiding over our time in the Word with the Holy Spirit who teaches us, guides us, and shows us how to rightfully divide Your Word of truth. We thank You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.